Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Order Mill Terrace Radio, and we welcome from Tokyo, Japan, in a little bit, Boris Lerlei, who is a French author and historian. Today we will cover the French history, French law, and the truth about Bastille Day. Yesterday's show was on disinformation, how it leads us away from Christ, how we can protect ourselves and defend ourselves against Satan and his minions and his subjects using disinformation to steal our souls and send us to hell. So I hope Boris will call in soon and we can get this show going. Maybe. Well, I just sent a message to our president of Border Mill Terrace. Maybe you'll come in and do a little banter with me. Hold things up until Boris can call in. Sorry for the different time zones. I was told 12 a.m., so that's currently 11:01 p.m. there in Tokyo. Our past shows were on the Syrian executions they're going through right now, thanks to the Turkish government. And please continue to sign the petition at whitehouse.gov and to help Syrian Christians get their property back that was stolen. And we hope to do another show on terrorism situation in the United Kingdom. We're still trying to get guests for that show. Our first show on it was Big Hit. We had a woman, Allison, from Northern Wales. And we talked all sorts of things out of the UK Defense League, Anti-Terrorism Center, all help citizens to protect themselves. But also how different left-wing parties, UK, will not like it so much. We did a topic on the history of terrorism, the evils of terrorism, and why it must stop with Gregory Carpenter. We touched on today's subject, just a touch, about Robespierre. And how he's saying, virtue and terrorism go together. I hope to learn more about that. And any other topics. While we wait for a guest, as we know, it's Bastille Day, France. A few hours ago, they just got done doing their military parade. It's also the 100th anniversary. Hello?
Yeah, it's Boris.
Hey, Boris, welcome.
How are you?
Oh, good. Just waiting for you. Getting used to knowing all these time zones.
Yeah, I'm not. I thought it was on Skype or something, so I'm not just sure how things work.
Yeah. We have people calling on Skype or just normal house phones or cell phones, so whatever works. Okay. Can you tell us how France went from a Catholic monarchy to how things led up to the overthrow of the crown?
Yeah, sure. Well, as in the United States, it was mostly driven by economics, and there was lots of fiscal mismanagement back then during the 18th century, and the crown tried to reform for quite a period of time, but never could achieve it because the aristocracy was opposed to it. And it led to wide discontent among the people, and ultimately that created what we know as the French Revolution. So pretty much the hot topic was, as in America, no taxation without representation. It was, that is what led to the troubles back then.
Once the Catholic monarchy was overthrown, how was France governed or ruled? Or was there a government at all during the period of the French Revolution?
Can you rephrase it? Sorry, I'm not sure to grasp it. Sorry.
Okay. After the Catholic monarchy of France was overthrown, how was France ruled after the revolution started?
After the king was ousted, or I don't quite understand the question. Sorry.
I was wondering, after the Catholic monarchy was overthrown.
Yes.
What type of government was there after that?
No. There were no longer any Catholic government. It was this is then when they established the First Republic, and it was an atheistic government. Yes, and only 25 years after that, after 1791, a Catholic government would be established. So it was after Napoleon was defeated ultimately by the British and other European powers. So for 25 years, so during the French Revolution and after, during the Napoleonic era, the government in France was no longer Catholic at all. I hope I could answer your question.
Yeah. It is. About what time was the Day of Terror instituted by Maximilian Robespierre? And was Bastille Day around the same time?
Do you mean after the fall of the Catholic monarchy? Is it?
Yes.
What do you want to know about Robespierre? I'm not sure to understand.
The Day of Terror and then about how he instituted virtue and terrorism go together.
Yeah.
And was this about the same time as the founding of Bastille Day?
No. The Bastille Day is famous because it is when the trouble really started, when the event started to become violent. So it is remembered as such, because people started to shot at each other. But Robespierre came way after that. He came when the monarchy really disappeared and collapsed, and there was some kind of political void, and the revolutionaries took over, pretty much like in Russia in 1917. You know, the Tsar, you know, was ousted, and for a while there was also political chaos. And in France, after that, of course, prevailed Robespierre. And Robespierre has a certain understanding of how a government should be run. And for him, the government should have absolute power, which involved, if necessary, to use all the means necessary to suppress political dissent. And then this is when he articulate his ideas as virtue and terror. And we can say indeed that Robespierre really invented modern-day terrorism. It's really not that different of what we can see in the Middle East with ISIS. It's using terror as a political mean. And Robespierre made of that really a worldview, even in philosophy. So that was really new at the time. You know, of course, before him, people used violence to achieve goals, but he used terror, that means psychological warfare, to achieve political goals. So he really created modern-day terrorism. And that came after Bastille, the Bastille Day events. So roughly 3 years after that. Yes.
Interesting. What is Bastille Day and how was it established?
The Bastille Day was in itself, it was just the Bastille was just a prison. It was a prison, and you can really say that it was a kind of symbol for all the political opponent of the king, and first and foremost for the aristocrats, because the French Revolution has been misrepresented to the people, because the most important opponents to the crown were aristocrats who wanted to weaken the crown for their own benefit. And there were also some special interests. And they gathered and they actually paid agitators, journalists, and rioters to stir dissent against the crown, really. And this was a pretty interesting symbol, because the Bastille was really an empty prison at the time of the events. There were only 7 prisoners, but it was portrayed as really a symbol of oppression, even at the time. And one of the most powerful figures of the French Revolution was the Duke of Orléans, who was the leader of a rival branch of the royal family. And he wanted to establish a liberal or constitutional monarchy for his own benefit, and also because he was the leading figure of the Freemasonry back then. And it is him who launched the assault on the Bastille. And it was first to find weapons and powder, because it was a fortress, and second, to free the prisoners who happened to be there. But unfortunately, among the seven prisoners, there were four crooks, one murderer, and two lunatics. One of those lunatics thought he was Julius Caesar. So the event is not really what it has been. It was not what is said about it today. And it is also interesting to say that the mob who stormed the Bastille left from the royal palace, which was the palace of the Duke of Orléans, who happened to be mostly a brothel. You know, basically the mob left a brothel to free rapists, murderers, and lunatics. So this is really what took place back then during the Bastille Day. Nobody knows it, but it's a reality nonetheless.
Wow. Okay. Now they celebrated with parades and fireworks.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah, indeed.
During the time of the French Revolution, did these new philosophies play a role in removing all things related to the Christian faith in France and Europe? And if you can, speak on how these new philosophies played a role in shaping America as well.
Oh yes, it was. Those new ideas play a very important role indeed. And all those new philosophies actually wanted to get rid of any form of Christianity. Because for those philosophers and those who read them at the time, Christianity was a form of oppression, a sum of fake ideas or superstitions that help the people to reach the truth. So you had, of course, plenty of thinkers who really started to write those ideas about, I would say, during the 16th century and 17th century. And during the 18th century, it was already really mainstream. Maybe not so many people are aware of that, but in France was really populated at the time compared to other European countries. It was the most populous country in Europe beside Russia. So it was it was the most powerful country, both militarily, economically, and also demographically. So France was very influential, and intellectuals would go to France, foreign intellectuals would go to France, to discuss various topics. And those ideas really get traction once they manage to make it up to the top of the society. And during the 18th century, the aristocrats, who really have had nothing to do all day long, like to invite various intellectual figures just to hear their new theory and to talk about it. And this is how those new ideas, emerged and gained popularity. And they didn't expect it. Those ideas would be the base of the revolution, which ultimately ended up the way it did. So there were various figures, but Voltaire is one of the most famous. And Voltaire, very influenced by the English intellectuals, was openly anti-Christian. His aim, as a philosopher, was to destroy Christianity. And he wrote it explicitly in his writings and letters. And he wanted to destroy Christianity, and he wanted to destroy Christ. He said it plainly. plainly, sorry. And of course, you have others figures such as Rousseau. Rousseau played a huge role. Especially, he's one of the main thinkers of the left. And I cannot go into much detail, but those ideas certainly played a huge role before the revolution, during the revolution. Although the French Revolution followed a different path than the American Revolution. I would say that the American Revolution kept some common sense in its core philosophy, and we can even see it to this day. So the French Revolution was really already becoming communistic during its second phase. So that is when Robespierre took over. Robespierre was very influenced by Rousseau, and Robespierre was very clear that he didn't want at any cost to see France following the American path. So he wanted the French Revolution to follow Rousseau's philosophy, and certainly not what was established in America during the American Revolution. But I cannot get too much in too many details, because there would be a lot to discuss. So it would be maybe too much for your listeners.
All right. Can you explain about what Robespierre said about virtue and terror? Because this is very important to understand what happened and how France entered into the revolution. It began its very secular anti-Christian rule that is still imposed today by the government owning the religious properties of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, certainly. As I said just before, Robespierre really invented modern-day terrorism. And I have an excerpt of his speech. I will just read it for you. That will give you an insight of his way of thinking. I'm just reading now. If the mainspring of popular government in peacetime is virtue, amid revolution it is at the same time virtue and terror. Virtue without which terror is futile, terror without which virtue is important. Terror is nothing but prompt, severe, inflexible justice. It is therefore an emanation of virtue. It is less a special principle than a consequence of the general principle of democracy applied to our country's most pressing needs. So what does that mean? That means that for Robespierre, terror is a way to make democracy prevail, which may sound weird. But in his worldview, you have only two categories of people. You have the good citizens and the bad citizens. And the government, led by him and his allies, who were like-minded, thought their duty was to reshape the human nature. They thought that the revolution was all about reshaping mankind through the government. So Robespierre never thought he was wrong, and then decided that he could use all the power he had to achieve this. And then those who would oppose to him and those who would oppose the government would be by definition bad citizens. So if you are busy at reshaping mankind for what you think is the common good, and then that you see people opposing your policy, that means that they are bad and you have to get rid of them, and you can suppress them by any means. So then his system became completely coherent. And that was the first time somebody articulated this way and so completely. And then in this sense, it is very different from the American Revolution and the American founding fathers, because Robespierre saw that, or thought that, the government was good when the Americans see it as bad and the root of all evils. So it's very different. And it happened that Robespierre was indeed wrong, because the government corrupts. And the more powerful the government, the more corrupt it is. And Robespierre proved it. But he didn't see it this way at the time. And he really, really became the worst tyrant ever in the French history. And it's very ironic that he pretended to get rid of tyrants, namely the kings of France, who never did anything like what he did.
I'd like to touch on something very dear to me. I have a devotion to the Catholic martyrs of the Vendee War, where Catholics rose up to defend themselves. You know much about these brave and historic Catholics of the Vendee region of France? And if you can, go into detail how they began their defense of religious rights, how the War of the Vendee started.
The war started because the government, the Republican government, which was established 4 months before, in the late 1792, had to wage a war against various European powers, and they established the full mobilization of the population. So they needed hundreds of thousands of soldiers to fight at the borders. So they were no longer volunteers. So the government decided to basically order people to join the military, regardless of their will to fight. That was the first cause. The second was the government, the new republic, was aggressively anti-Christian and was persecuting priests or any people showing some kind of devotion. And that was really, in that sense, it was already close to what we would see later on in Russia or in China, in the communist country, you know, this willingness to destroy any form of Christianity. So when the government decided to mobilize, the common people, I mean the peasants, were really upset and disgusted, because why fighting for a government that openly despise you? So they refused, and which surprised the leftists of our era, because for the first time peasants, poor people, went to see the aristocrats to help them fighting back against the government. So when you listen to the leftists, the poor people always want to rebel against exploitation and oppression. But in that case, the poor people, the peasants, revolted against the first ever, the first republic established in Europe during the modern day. So it contradicts the official narrative. And very soon they organized a guerrilla warfare, and they did it in Vendée, and they did it also in Brittany. In Brittany, by the way, the guerrilla was organized was planned and organized by an aristocrat, but he was not an important aristocrat at all, but he fought during the American Revolution. He paid on with his own money volunteers to fight during the American Revolution. He was a friend of George Washington, and he was made a general of the Continental Army. So he was very respected in America. He was from Brittany. He get back after the American after the War of Independence. He get back to France, and very soon he found himself involved in this revolution, in this war, and it is him who planned and organized the guerrilla in Brittany and he was also helping the guerrilla in the Vendée. They did a great job. They also received the support of the English, of the Brits, but unfortunately they couldn't change the tide of the war. So they finally were crushed brutally, by the way. This is also the name of this aristocrat was La Rouerie. That was his name. He was a general in the Continental Army, as I said. They failed, unfortunately. But when we discuss the Vendée topic, we are discussing about roughly 200,000 to 300,000 people killed. It's really a genocide. It was a systematic destruction of civilians. It was not by any means a war, a conventional war at all. It was the willingness to suppress a whole population for what was thought is religious and political views. So that when you know all those details, of course you don't see the French Revolution the same way as it is today portrayed. It's very different. You know, when you dig history, you always learn new things. Yeah.
I was wondering if you know any details about the canonization process. Is France holding it up or anything?
Even today, can you repeat your question? I want to be sure to understand.
I was wondering if you knew anything how the Catholic martyrs of the Vendée's canonization process going.
I'm not aware of any such canonization process. There may have one, but I'm not aware of. It's a very sensitive question, even to this day in France. Officially, there was no genocide. Officially, the government refused to discuss any topic related to it. Some member of the parliament tried to pass a bill to acknowledge the historical facts. It was always repelled by the parliament because it's too sensitive. Because officially, the French Republic represents freedom, equality, whatever. But it happened. This is the first modern European government who proceeded to a systematic mass murder of its own population. So you know, it doesn't fit the narrative. So they refuse to acknowledge it. And the church, I think, is also wary about this question. I think the church and at least the French clergy does not want to upset the French authorities about this. So I'm not aware of anything related to the canonization process.
Okay. How many Catholics died during the time the Bastille was liberated?
The Bastille During the 14th of July 1789, only 100 people died. Those were rioters who tried to storm a prison and a fortress, and of course the military has had to protect it. So they tried to ask the demonstrators to leave. They refused. They tried to, storm it. They fire at them, and at, after some time, the garrison accepted to surrender, and six people with six officers were killed. So we are talking about it was a riot and there were 100 dead, but that was not that significant. When it comes to the Vendée, as I said, we are talking about 200,000 to 300,000 people killed within a year or two. So it's the scale is very different.
Yeah. Why does the secular government of France celebrate Bastille Day when it is not a day of celebration?
Because it is a symbol of the, you know, the official history of the Republic. So it is a lie indeed. They do not tell the reality of what's involved. But nonetheless, refusing to celebrate it would mean to undermine the very legitimacy of the government and of the French Republic. So it's better to lie, I guess. At least I think this is the way they see it. So they prefer to talk about a day of freedom, a day where the people in Paris rose against tyrants, but as I said, those who stormed this prison were paid agitators by powerful aristocrats and were few thousands. We are not talking about hundreds or thousands. We are not talking about a mass event. It was really limited in scale and space, but it was significant politically. So they prefer to make it look good. It's for optics, I guess.
Okay. If the people decide not to celebrate it in France, are they in trouble with the law or anything?
No, it's very much like the 4th of July in the United States. It's a day of celebration. People are free to do what they want, of course. Some attend to parades or fireworks or this type of thing. I mean, the common people is absolutely free to not celebrate. There is nothing such as trouble. You are not in trouble if you do not celebrate. But if you are a member of the armed force or the police, or if you are an official, you may be requested to participate, and then you cannot say no, of course. It's as a member of a branch of the government, you have to obey, of course. So, but there is nothing like repression in this case.
How many in France, or who are citizens of France today, have a problem celebrating Bastille Day due to them knowing the truth of Bastille Day?
No, really not, because the official narrative has been taught for so long time now in the schools, in the newspapers, and people want to believe in it, because the way it is introduced to people is very positive. So if you're not very keen on history, and if you're not interested in politics, well, you will not dig and you will not find anything that may change your mind about it. So you will just celebrate with friends, and you just think, well, the national day, every country has a national day, so why not, you know? So no, they don't have any problem with it, because they do not know the facts.
Okay. How is the current government of France still related to what was established during and after the French Revolution? Or is the French Revolution still going on?
Yes, the French Revolution, as any, I would say, left-leaning revolution, never ends, which may sound a bit surprising, but those type of revolution openly states that they, as I said, want to reshape mankind, want to reshape the man. So it's an ongoing process. They even sometimes they are even step back, but they nonetheless have to fight back. So they always see themselves as revolutionaries, which implies to always fight against opponents. The French Republic, when you are familiar with the way the French politicians talk, the way and when you are familiar with their worldviews, what strikes your eyes is that they are always looking for an enemy, which is also something you find in other revolutionary states. They are always looking for an enemy, be it domestic or foreign. And in France, they are always insisting about securing the Republic, which is strange, because if it was the popular government, why being afraid of the Republic being overthrown? So there is the question of legitimacy, you know. They always feel that the government they establish is not that legitimate after all. It's maybe they are afraid for nothing, but they really feel it this way. And the revolution also keeps going because they, even to this day, try to destroy any form of Christianity, really. Even to this day, which may be surprising to foreigners, but it's true. Even to this day, they try to get rid of sometimes a cross, which you can find in villages. You will find some of their militants who would say, we have to get rid of that. Recently, you know, there was an old habit in some villages where during Christmas you would have some kind of, I don't know how to translate it in English, but you have Mary and Joseph and the Christ represented. Yeah, and it was an old habit to display it in some villages in the city hall, you know, nothing aggressive at all. But there was a huge debate about it in France. How can we get rid of that? And the same organizations who were appealing to the courts to get rid of those events during Christmas in the city halls were supporting, few months after, Muslims who wanted to wear the full headscarf. So you see, it's very surprising. The French Republicans, the militants, I mean, are to this day willing to suppress any form of Christianity in public, and at the same time support Muslim anytime they can. And of course, in the Constitution, I mean, the fundamental text of the Constitution is a revolutionary text, and is very secular, and it comes right from the revolution. And I could go on and on, but also the Freemasonry is very influential. The Freemasonry in France is very different than from the Freemasonry in the Anglo-speaking world, because it is atheistic, which is not the case mostly in America. You have Freemasons, but they are theists, which is not the case in France. Any form of Christianity has to be suppressed. It maybe sounds surprising for an American or for even Brit, but it is true. It's very, very left-leaning. Very left-leaning. And we are talking about the government. We are not talking about political parties or intellectuals. No, we are talking about the government.
I had to add a question on because Brother Alexis said, ask this question. So here is his question from this morning.
Yeah.
Can you go into Napoleon? What?
I'm sorry, listening to you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, yes.
Okay. Can you go into how Napoleon agreed with or differed from the revolutionaries and why Catholics, especially in France, should or should not admire him?
It's a very interesting question. Napoleon was not a revolutionary at heart. He came from a very modest aristocratic family from Corsica, and he wanted to serve in the French Royal Army, in the artillery corps. Then the French Revolution broke out, and he just did his job as a soldier, which is to obey officers. So he had his own ideas and views, but he was not a revolutionary in the sense that he participated in events and so on. He was shocked by the murder of the King Louis XVI, and he profoundly despised the people who killed him. So Napoleon was somebody who liked order, and even when he took power, he took power in a situation where anyway the political void and the anarchy was so strong that somebody had to do something. But nonetheless, ruthless, extremely proud, and he was also extremely ambitious. So once he took power, he had no intention to give it back to Catholic king or to anyone. And he did not hesitate to suppress either radical republicans or monarchists, royalists. For him, it was not a problem. He wanted power and wanted to retain it. So this being said, as I said before, he was a man of order. And to some extent, he was also authoritarian. And he tried to rebuild a form of monarchy, but a monarchy that would acknowledge the changes that occurred a few years before. So he was also very pragmatic. He knew he could not go back. He was not willing to go back. At the same time, he despised anarchists or the radical left of this time and decided to rebuild a form of order, but now if we have to discuss about should we admire him or despise him when you are Catholic, well, if we talk about as Catholics, I don't think we can admire him because what he did was not really Catholic. But when he died, just before dying, he converted to Catholicism. He on his deathbed, he converted, and he really said that he said explicitly, see what I have achieved during my lifetime. Already, everybody already forgot me. have forgotten me, sorry. Jesus is still alive. So this struck him, and he decided to convert. So that was, this is something that is not much discussed about, but I think it is very telling. So, no, admiring the Napoleon who is triumphant and waging wars all across Europe, destroying France in the process, destroying Spain. No, we cannot admire this man for this, even if he was a genius, a true military genius. But we can think about him as a human being going through various experiences and who end up converting to Catholicism. He was baptized, but he decided really to die as a true Catholic.
That is interesting to know. I didn't know that about him. Finally, how can or can the truth finally be revealed about Bastille Day? And how get things being changed finally in France to get what was done by the revolutionaries back to making France more Catholic and less secular?
That is the $1 million question. It is an old process now. France has been secularized for 200 years. When you walk in France nowadays, when you talk to French people, you are not dealing with Catholic anymore, really. They may be baptized nonetheless, but you cannot say you are talking with Catholic or even Christians. There are Christians, of course, but they are a minority, and Christianity, unfortunately, do not shape, or not as it should, the collective mind and the mentality, which is really unfortunate. And the government is not Christian, but is more than that, is anti-Christian. And that was funny because the American president, Mr. Trump, was in Paris for Bastille Day, and yesterday he had, of course, a press conference where he chatted with various journalists, and he gave also a speech, and he said, "God bless France." Well, I tell you, that shocked people in France. People are shocked when you say something like this. If you say, "God bless France," people stare at you. They say, "What's wrong with this person? What is he talking about?" You know. I mean it, really. This is shocking to people. If you say something like this in French, if a French president dared to say something like this, there would be an outcry. There would be protests. How come a French president talk about God? This is to tell you the level of secularism that French has reached. So reverting this is quite a significant task to achieve. I cannot tell how to do that, really, especially since when I think about the French clergy and clergymen, they are not really busy to make France Christian again. You know, it's not, the question is not much about how to make France great again. It's more like how to make France Christian again, you know. And I don't have an answer to this question, really. I would like to, but I don't have. But there is something in it for the American audience. America is dangerously walking along the French path. Really, I see it myself, which is quite surprising. I thought America was deeply Christian. It is still, to some extent, Christian. You can see various polls and so on, how people react. But secularism is progressing quickly in America. If America lose its Christian faith, regardless of the various denominations, America will lose its soul, and that will end badly. And I can see how the left is trying to push this agenda. And because I come from France and I know how it ends, I am indeed worried for America. So I see you have a president who is trying to push back. He's trying to be a Christian president. I hope he success. But the American people has to be aware that they are in dire straits. Because Europe, Western Europe at least, is no longer Christian per se. You have a huge spiritual void over there. Leftism is everywhere. And the left is helping Islam to prevail. If things go like it does now, within 50 or 60 years, Western Europe will be Muslim. You can mark my word. I come from there. I know it. If America loses its Christian faith, you will lose your moral spine. And you will lose your identity, your spiritual and moral identity. And you will not be able to fight back against your enemies. And you have plenty of enemies. And for now, you have a tiny minority of Muslims in America. There are 3 million. It's not that much. But it grows very quickly, believe me. If you lose your faith, maybe 100, 150 years, you will find yourself in terrible problems, just as Western Europe. So you have to bear that in mind and never give up your faith.
Alright. Thank you, Boris, for this.
Thank you. Thank you a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. And we will be back, I believe, next week with our show continuing. All right. Thank you, Boris, and good night in Tokyo, I guess.
Yeah, indeed. Have a good day.
All right. You too. All right. Hold on, folks. Getting the president of Watermill Terrace on here. Oh, man. Oh, this was an eye-opening show. Final question. Something. $1 million question. That is horrible about the French clergy trying not to upset the government. Now let's see if we get brother on here. That is Brother Alexis Bonolo, president of Porta Militaris, incorporated and president of Porta Militaris Catholicus. See if he wants to give any final words. Okay, he says he can't make it. Well, I'm going to sign off now. Thank you for listening. This has been an excellent program for this Friday to learn about the truth of the French Revolution, French politics, French history, and of course, the truth of Bastille Day. Please share this episode if you're in France. Help make the truth known. And everyone in America, we have some work to do. keep to the words of Boris Vallée about what could be coming pretty soon. Thank you. May God bless you. May the Sacred Heart of Jesus protect you. Deus vult.